You're tuning into the Active Mom Podcast with physical therapist, Dr. Carrie Pagliano, a real mom's guide to all things postpartum return to workouts after baby. If you're a postpartum mom, coach, trainer, or physical therapist looking for answers on how to get back to running, CrossFit, yoga, Pilates, HIIT, you name it, without the fear of pelvic floor issues or doing something wrong, this is the podcast for you. Let's start the show.
Good morning. I cannot be more excited to spend my Thursday morning with my friend Kelly Kendall.
Yay!
So good to see you. Thank you for coming on.
I'm glad to be here.
So Kelly and I, very, very, very long story short, used to be neighbors like a million and one years ago before weddings, maybe right after weddings or right around
right after
there.
Weddings, children,
way before kids. And then lo and behold, our paths cross professionally. So Kelly is you're going to have to say all the words for me.
So I am a nurse, I'm an RN, and also an international board certified lactation consultant, which is a mouthful, or an IBCLC. IBCLC. Yeah.
And so I reached out to Kelly because as I've been kind of diving in and trying to understand more about moms and, return back to workouts and return back to running, you know, not trying to assume that my experience is what everybody has. One of the things that came up actually more than leakage, prolapse, those sleep, we're going to talk about that later, was the breastfeeding debacle and the nursing and the, like, how do I make all this stuff kind of work? And we both breastfed, and for you, I think that's such an important part. Before we get into questions, that's such an important part about why you became a lactation consultant. So do you want to share like a quick little backstory on
that? Yeah. So I thought I knew what I was doing. Like many people, I was a nurse. I was prepared. I read all the books. I sort of laminated my birth plan like Carrie did. Yeah. Or my breastfeeding plan. Yeah. And then I became a mom and I realized it's a lot harder for some people. And it was for me. I have some complicated kind of health issues, and both of my babies were tongue tied and lip tied, which I didn't know about in the beginning. And we really struggled. I had mastitis, I had postpartum anxiety, kind of had all the things. And so what really brought me to wanting to be a lactation consultant was the support I got actually in Arlington, going to Virginia Hospital Center and going to that support group, connecting with really smart, compassionate IBCLCs and other moms. And it just, I want that for other people. I feel like every mom kind of deserves a cheerleader like that and a community of people. So that's what I want to connect with, and that's what I want to kind of create.
That's awesome. I mean, I mean, obviously my story is similar, not from the boob aspect, but from the, all the other pelvic stuff.
Yes, the other half of the body.
I almost feel like it's so much harder to get your head around these things when you are in that field and you think, gosh, I should have known this.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important for other moms that in the mom guilt keeps coming up. Like I should, you know, my body was built this way. I should have known how to do all these things. Why don't I do that? And that's where I think you sharing your story is so important. You're like, I was an L&D nurse. I knew all these things. I should have been fine. Yet this is what happened, which goes to show you can have all the education in the world, but sometimes these things happen. Have somebody that can help walk you through that. Like doing it alone is not the way to do it.
No.
So that's why I want you to share your story. Cause I, you know, having known you throughout this whole story.
Having seen me cry the tears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we visit you on bed rest? Exactly. All right. So kind of onto the bigger questions, to start with this, like beyond the initial, like, how do I latch? How do I do this? How do I do that? Like, what do you see the most from mom?
Yeah. I mean, I think the undercurrent that I see, and there's so much overlap between what we do. I see a lot of just not knowing what's normal.
Yes.
You know, we don't see a lot of people breastfeed. Like for some moms, like in their family, they're the first person that's ever breastfed. So it's really easy to doubt yourself. You know, kind of whenever a baby does something, the first thing you think is, oh, I don't have enough milk. So when there's lots of reasons that a baby could be fussy or waking up more or, you know, wiggling and squirming at the breast. And I think we just live in a world that like immediately we want to feel inadequate.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's so I think one thing that's hugely helpful is finding a community and being in a support group where you're going to hear stuff, not just about where you are right now, but where you're going to be a few weeks from now, a few months from now, you know, because the baby who's 2 weeks old at the breast is much different than a, you know, a 3 month old who's popping on and off when the wind blows, when the cat walks in, you know, that's normal for a baby at that age. So, you know, knowing what is normal and knowing like the diversity of normal, you know, and knowing kind of how, what to look at to know you're still on the right track. Knowing we don't just ever look at one thing, like with you. You don't
we completely do the same thing.
We don't ever look at one thing. Like, how do we step back and look at the whole picture? And that's really what I find is just a lot of self-doubt that maybe doesn't need to be there. A lot of kind of resistance, and I'm number one person, but like it's really hard to just sort of trust your body and trust your baby to kind of know what to do. And talking with other moms is so important.
We catastrophize.
Yes.
Like I was definitely with Gianni. I mean, you just, something happens and then you just, Gianni's my oldest, like, and just project forward, like, oh my God, it's always going to be this way. But then with my daughter, Analia, like she had a tongue tie and the pediatrician in the beginning, she's like, oh, it's kind of borderline. She might have some speech issues. What do you want to do? And there's this fear of, oh my gosh, should she get it done? Is this a bad thing? You know, and then you talk to other people and they've had it done. They're like, oh, it's no big deal. It's going to be great. And now I'm sitting here, she's 7 years old. She actually has probably a lip tie that now the dentist is like, yeah, she's going to have some stuff done that they didn't say anything at the time. Oh gosh, I wish I would have seen that. But like at the time you're questioning everything. So to have people around you that have been through that and can be like, yeah, what you're feeling like with Analia, the latch was not getting better. I was like, stay away. I knew that something was not right. But had she been my first, I don't think I would have known.
So. And I think there's a lot of just, especially in the beginning, like, it's not so bad. I'm just going to suffer through it. You know, it just like we through a lot of things as moms, like, and so, you know, really finding your voice, advocating for yourself, asking questions, finding other moms, watching other people with older babies. I think that's huge for success.
And the nice thing now with, and we're in the middle of COVID, like there's so many more virtual options. And again, you work virtually, which is fantastic. So, I mean, it's not off the table because we can't be in the same space.
Right. And I think you've kind of said it before, like as clinicians, you know, we really can do a really great job hearing about what's going on and coming up with a game plan virtually. So you don't necessarily have to have your hands on a baby and a mom to come up with a plan, empower them, make them feel more confident and like they can do this. And that's really what my job is, to make them be able to feel like they can do it on their own.
Exactly. And the best thing, you get to see them in their home environment. You don't have to trust what the setup is. You can see it. So this one in the context, so this may be like moms that their kids are a little bit older. They're ready to pop the kid in the stroller and go out for a run or even just start workouts. They've got their clearance. Where do you find moms struggle the most when trying to still nurse and start to work out or start to run, not only from like questions from like a supply standpoint or nutrition, but even like logistics. I feel like that's actually one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, I think logistics are certainly a thing. And I do think, you know, I struggle, you know, everyone kind of struggles with the schlepping, the figuring out the when to pump, what to bring, you know, those sort of logistics. But I think even more than anything is feeling like you deserve it. You know, I think we are in, you know, especially moms of young babies, you're just so used to just give. And to feel like you have the confidence to be like, no, I need this for myself. Yeah. And it makes me a better mom. And carving out this time to feel good in my body is something I'm showing my kids and that I'm claiming for myself. And that's just going to give you more to give to your kids. So, yeah. You know, I think that, you know, of course, the logistics are a part of it, but I think there's a lot that's in the head that you just, I know you think, just feeling like you're okay to want to do something by yourself or carve out that time. I think it's really hard to do.
It took me a while to do that. Like, and I think especially going back to work, you know, if you're going back to an office scenario, I mean, I finally felt okay keeping the babysitter a little bit longer. I would do one more pumping before I left work, or I would pump in the car. Super proud of that one, by the way. So that I could go do extra errands or go for a run or something like that before I came home. Whereas when I first went back to work with my oldest, I was like, all right, I got to finish work and go straight home because I don't want him to have another bottle. I want him to nurse with me. Like it's, which is kind of crazy as far as expectations go. So, anything from like a fluid nutrition perspective that moms should be aware of as they return to workouts, like anything that they should be conscious to make sure that they're in their diet or as far as adding fluid?
Yeah. So it actually takes more calories when you're breastfeeding than it does when you're pregnant. So, and then add on strenuous exercise on top of it. And you really need to be getting enough calories. And it is so easy, calories and protein, as you're building back muscle and, you know, recovering from birth. And so that is really tough for people, especially the protein part, is finding ways to kind of incorporate that easy snack, you know, making hard boiled eggs or making sandwiches ahead of time, buying some protein bars. I think it's really important. And the hydration is definitely part of it. Keeping hydrated, a lot of people feel really thirsty when they're breastfeeding, so they're not really be able to keep up on that hydration. You don't need to kind of drink gallons and gallons of water a day. A lot of people think that you just really need to drink to thirst. So paying attention to how you feel, making sure you have a water bottle with you is going to be really important. But the biggest thing is making sure you're getting those calories, because if you're really at a calorie deficit, you can see a drop in your milk supply.
Right. And that's, I'm going to bring a colleague on to talk about Rett's syndrome, where basically you, you have moms that are trying to get their postpartum bodies back. They're not eating enough. They're over-exercising because it's an anxiety kind of stress sort of thing. And what can happen physiologically, it actually can set you back much further. And to your point, you know, your milk supply may drop, which again is going to make you more stressed, and it all kind of needs itself. But I think in, you know, from a physiological standpoint, like stress fractures, people don't think that if you don't eat enough of the right when you're trying to feed your baby, you could end up with a stress fracture. Like people just think about
this. This is not a time to be dieting. This is a time to be eating enough calories, nourishing your body. Your body is working really hard to keep up with your baby's needs. And especially if you're asking it to do more with exercise. So just knowing that, you know, this is certainly not a time to be like counting and adding it to my fitness pal and trying to be at a really big deficit. This is the time to
do macros.
Not counting macros right now. You're eating all the things right now.
Yeah, exactly. Any other advice for moms from a nursing standpoint, you know, trying to keep breastfeeding, but starting to try and work out a little bit more regularly? Anything else that you can think of?
I just think, listen to your body, pay attention. You might need to throw an extra pump in there. You might need to throw an extra feed in. But the biggest thing is just giving yourself permission to do this for yourself. And I think as seasoned moms, whatever that means, Carrie, we're a little bit past the newborn stage.
We're ladies now.
Yeah, you realize like it's okay to say something or take something for yourself. Like, it will make you a better mom when you feel good in your body and you're showing your kids that you deserve that.
Yeah. No, it's such a hard thing. And I mean, we kind of went through, being pregnant together where you don't think any of the stuff that people talk about is going to happen to you. And you're oh, I'm going to be totally fine.
Yeah.
When you look at people, like, I almost feel like I'm aged out. I mean, my kids are now 9 and 7. And like, to somebody who has an infant, that's like an eternal, like.
I know. Yeah. You feel like you'll never be that mom.
I'm literally like the old lady with the advice right now. And I'm like, and I look back and at the people that were trying to give me advice and I'm like, oh, or even your parents, like, you don't listen to your mom anyway, but it's so funny now being like, no, people, this is like, please learn from our mistakes and what we went through, because we don't want to keep perpetuating these myths that you have to lose the weight and be the perfect breastfeeder and that breastfeeding shouldn't hurt and you should be back in your skinny jeans and all this crap. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. If you want to know more about Kelly, you can find Kelly on Instagram at The Balanced Boob, but she's also at thebalancedboob.com. And Kelly works virtually, which is awesome. So if you have questions, hop on her IG or just reach out to her. And again, like, there's nothing better, I think, than talking with a professional that has sat in your shoes and kind of knows what you're feeling and doesn't just be like, you should be doing this and this, but like,
no, that's not me.
They know what it feels like to have the mom guilt and to have the feelings of inadequacy and, but know that you are motivated and you're going to do everything that you can to try and make things better. So, thank you so much for coming on and
hopefully
we'll see each other in person someday.
Yeah, soon, I hope. All right. Good to see you, Carrie.
Did you enjoy the podcast? If so, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell a friend to do the same. Register now for the free on-demand postpartum mama masterclass, How to Overcome the 3 Most Common Return to Run Mistakes. You can skip to the good part and get back to running while missing these mistakes. Find this and more free resources under the patient section on carriepagliano.com. This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Carrie Pagliano and her guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical advice and is for entertainment purposes only. Always consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.